You need screen up?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to get you to walk in front, okay?
How are y'all doing this morning?
Good. You're good. Come on.
So I just want to kind of start things off by just giving just gratitude. Just thank you so much for allowing us to come back, allowing us to serve. Y'all obviously it's a different team this time around.
Come on.
But this is my second time here, and I just thank y'all so much for y'all's generosity and y'all's hospitality. I think when I went back to Kennesaw, that was one of the things that really blew my mind. I was able to share about the trip to Jackson for the first time, just like how, like, y'all were just so generous. Y'all were just so just hospitable to us, like, and you treated us like we're family, and the fact that we are family, you know,
Amen.
We kind of talked about that last time I was here. And I just wanna, so I'm just, you know, praising God for y'all. So just y'all's faith and y'all's love and genuine care for one another. And it's something that I personally am just very appreciative of. And honestly, like, it is so amazing that we get to be a part of this family. Like, it is so, so, so incredible that we get to be a part of the kingdom of God. Like, we have a place where we call our home, a place where we just dwell with Yahweh and dwell with Jesus and be with Him. Like, it is, that is an incredible thing. And, you know, a lot of this lesson, for those of you, recently, so, Marty Solomon, he's basically the Bama podcast, Hope River, and if you don't know what the Bama podcast is, basically he goes through the, basically the entire Bible, giving it, speaking from like the Jewish perspective, teaching us things that we might not have picked up in just our Western culture. So a lot of this lesson is based off of some of the things he taught on just the gospel, on the kingdom of heaven, what it means to walk in union with God. So a lot of this is inspired by this, a lot of this is stuff that I feel like the Spirit has placed in my heart. So I just want to, you know, give props real fast. I want to cite my source.
Come on.
Good news and the kingdom. In other words, we're talking about the gospel and the kingdom, what that truly means. And, you know, I feel like when we hear the word gospel, it gets so clouded in this religious terminology. Like, it is one of those kind of religious words, like faith and like hope and like holiness. Like, it's one of those words that can very easily get lost in translation. But I want to focus on it because it is so much more. It is so much bigger than what we can perceive it as. Like, a lot of times in our Western Christian society and in Christianity especially, the gospel is just, oh, Jesus died for you. The gospel is just, oh, this is how you get saved.
Right.
And it is those things. Like, I don't want to take away from that because that's a beautiful and an integral piece of the gospel. But it is so much more than that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It is so much bigger than that. I don't know if you fully realize that. And you know, I just want to share like how this, you know, the things that have impacted me, I'm going to be able to share these with you. And I'm going to call us to just enter into a place of reflection. To enter into a place where we can have a humble heart, whether we're challenged, whether we're inspired, whether we're encouraged. I want us to enter into that place so that God's Spirit can truly move. Amen.
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 Amen. So I'm going to start with the first point.
Cool.
And kick it to the next slide for you.
Okay.
All right. So, folks, taking notes, my first point is I've got a gospel. So, gospel. Well, we get that word from the Greek term called euangelion. And basically, it means good news or this great pronouncement. And it's a word that existed long before the Gospels were written, before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even Jesus. It's a word that has just existed, honestly, at the start of Hellenism. And basically what this, like, the best translation of the Gospel is just good news. Great tidings. It's this announcement. It's a declaration that a new king and a new kingdom was on the horizon.
Come on.
It's this proclamation, like, hey, good news! Good news! There's a new king in town.
Right.
Good news! There's a new kingdom. And this word, next slide, this word is first started with Alexander the Great. Quick history lesson. He conquered most of the known world around 320, 332 BC, and he brought this new kingdom. And what did he do? He would send his delegates, he would send people that represented his kingdom on before him and say, hey, good news, Greece, there's a new king. Good news, there's a new emperor, and he's bringing Hellenism. Good news, oh, y'all like running water? He's bringing that.
Come on.
Y'all like sports? He's bringing that. Y'all like entertainment? Oh, he's entertaining. Good news! He's bringing a new kingdom, new prosperity. And this message was quickly taken up in Rome into the picture. Next slide. Rome adopted this message, and it was good news. Caesar is here. Good news. There is a new emperor in town. There's a new kingdom that is unshakable. Good news. Oh, you thought Greece was good. Wait till you see Rome. Oh, you thought they were successful. Wait till you see one of the most successful empires in the whole world. Good news. Good news. And the gospel writers were able to do. And right here, this is a literal quote from one of their treatises they were put out, or one of the delegation were put out. It says, since Providence has set in most perfect order by giving us Augustus, whom she filled with virtue that he might benefit humankind. Kind of sounds familiar. Sending him as a savior, both for us and for our descendants, that he might end war and arrange all things, since he, Caesar, which is where we get the term Lord, by his appearance, surpassing all previous benefactors, and not even leaving to prosperity any hope of surpassing what he has done. In other words, yeah, this is it. Like he's surpassed everything before, and there's nothing coming at him that's gonna surpass him. And since the birthday of the god Augustus was the beginning of the good tidings, the euangelion, the good news, the gospel for the world that came by reason. Good news. Anyone living in that time, so, oh, Rome sounds pretty great. Oh, I mean, I could stay out of Rome, I could have health care, I could have running water, I could have sport. I'm going to Rome.
Right, right.
And that's the climate.
Yeah.
Of when Jesus enters the scene. The world, the word isn't this, wasn't necessarily religious, the word was political. And it was dangerous to say. Just like saying anybody else other than Caesar was Lord was just as dangerous. And it's funny how it says, like, leave it to prosperity, any hope of anything surpassing it. Like, there was like, yo, this is it. There's nothing better coming. This is there's no further advancements. There's no other kingdom that can rival Rome. This is who you pledge your allegiance to. This is the good news. This is your salvation. And the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is like, oh, really?
Come on.
Come on.
Oh, you think Rome is great? I got a gospel. I got good news.
Amen.
Amen.
I got something that's better than Rome. I got something that surpassed even Augustus Caesar. And it started with John saying, repent and believe the good news, for the kingdom of God is near.
Amen.
And when John is out of the picture, Jesus takes up that same message. Repent and believe the good news, for the kingdom of God is near. My campus ministry right now is going through the book, we're going through the Gospels, and we've been reading through Mark, and one of the things I've noticed reading through Mark, there's a lot of empire in Mark. There's a lot of empire vibes in Mark. There's a lot of kingdom vibes. And it makes sense, because Mark, it was a book written to the Romans, people just like us. To a Western society that's always focused on entertainment, that's always focused on sports, that's always focused on healthcare and education. Like, it's literally written to us. It's why we kind of like Mark the most. Like, it's the shortest gospel. It's more easily digestible. It is, you know, something that isn't like, there's not a lot of, you know, deeper stuff we gotta go through. There's still deep stuff in Mark, but there's not a lot of deeper stuff to go through. And you hear a lot of this imagery in Mark. But to them, the gospel writers, like the good news was more than just, hey, it's a new kingdom. Like, yes, it included salvation. Yes, it included that the people on the outside was welcome in. There's a new kingdom, and there's a new thing happening. But it was even more than that. It pronounced the new kingdom and its king. It was good news. It was an invitation to be a part of something that was going to outlast Rome. I don't know about you guys, but Rome is not here anymore, by the way. I just gotta get that. Rome is, unless, you know, you're very poetic and think, you know, where, you know, our society has another room, but I'm not gonna go there.
Come on, God.
But this was a message they were willing to die for. If you look at the gospel writers and you look at the early apostles, like, they were martyred for this. Peter was crucified upside down for this. Stephen was stoned for this. Paul was eventually beheaded for this. And don't get me started on the first century church. Literally willing to die. There must have been something about this gospel, something about this good news that they could easily pledge their allegiance to and easily die for. And what was it an invitation to? It was an invitation to something that had been lost for a very long time. Next slide. It was an invitation to a dynamic relationship with God. It was an invitation to a dynamic relationship with God. An ability to be back in the presence of Yahweh again. I was thinking about going to Genesis, opted not to, but I'll just kind of summarize. We all know Genesis. We all read our Bibles. Genesis, the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he made humankind, and said, let's make them in our image. And they will rule the animals, the birds in the sky, and the beasts of the field, and everything that crawls on the ground. That kind of sounds like a kingdom. That kind of sounds like a place of ruling. And we're gonna rule in partnership with Yahweh. We're just going to be in this place to where we can walk with God in the cool of the day. I mean, that sounds amazing.
Yes.
Being able to walk with God, and then somehow, some way, Satan gets in there, and we don't believe, we don't trust God's story, and the balance of the world, the shalom, the order of everything shifted, and we were exiled from Eden. And ever since then, God has been on this conquest to bring us back, going against the kingdoms of the world, going against empire. Going against an empire that says, oh, you're not good enough unless you produce enough. Going against a world that says, oh, try again, you're not accepted. And God's like, no, when I made you, you were good. And I wanted you to be good. And I want to rule with you. And I want this relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom offers that. It was different. Different than Rome. Values upside down.
Right.
Yeah.
It offers something totally new.
Right.
If it was different than Rome, by golly, it's definitely different than America.
Yes.
Yes.
In terms of this world.
Yeah.
It says capitalism wins. And it's a dog-eat-dog world. You're only as good as what you produce. Right. If you don't produce enough, you're not enough. This was an invitation to something bigger. Next slide. A life with God. Not life under God. Not life over, not life from, but life, not life for, but life with.
Yeah.
What is life under God? Life under God looks like this. God is this big authority figure, and I can never please him. I can never get into enough Bible talks. I can never get into enough Bible studies. I'm not being a good enough Christian. I'm still wrestling with this sin. I'm wrestling with this issue. I can't please God. That's life under God. I felt that. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's felt that.
Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Who's wanted? Am I doing enough? Those of us who are in ministry, am I doing enough for your kingdom? Is this enough? Is this good enough? Did I do enough?
Well, preaching.
That's life under God. And that's not what God called us to. Definitely not life over God. Where we think we've had God figured out so much that we put him in this box. And if God were to ever do anything outside of that box, oh, that's not God. That's as if we have the perfect interpretation of Scripture.
Come on, Josh.
Tell the truth.
We are not above God.
Amen.
Amen.
Life from God. That's the prosperity gospel. Mm. If I do enough good things, God will give me this.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If I sow enough money, God will let me reap something better. Or if I'm doing all the right things right, and God's going to give you the things. Or if I'm doing it wrong, God's going to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
That's life from God. And not life for God. Oh, that's weird, right? I mean, we're supposed to do life for God. Like, I want to do it all for Him. But imagine having a friend. It's like, hey, I just want to do something. I just want to do something for you. I want to do this for you. And do you help with that? Let me just do this for you. Let me just like, some of y'all are married. Imagine your spouse just always coming, hey, I want to do this for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me just do this for you. Hey, let me just do this for you. And I'm trying to like, hey, this is kind of great. This feels nice. At some point, it's like, what do you want to do?
Yep.
What, like, this isn't, like, what do you want to do?
Amen.
God did not call us to a spiritual codependency.
That's right.
He called us to a dynamic relationship with it, to life with God, because that's where life to the full happens. Amen. Going with God, being with God every step of the way.
Amen.
Back in Eden. Back walking with Yahweh in the cool of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That is what God invites us to. That is what He invites us to in the kingdom. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 5.
Come on, bro.
It's for them as well. It has different values. It has different considerations. Like, it is something completely different from what we're used to. I'm going to be reading, but more so listening. I don't know if y'all heard, this is from The Chosen.
Yeah.
One of the, honestly, probably the best Jesus films or TV series that has ever been out. Some season 2, some spoilers. But this is, I just love how they portray the Beatitudes. So we're actually gonna play it real fast. And this is what the kingdom's about, y'all.
Ready? Have I? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Yes, how is it the man? If someone wants to find me, those are the groups they should look for. And then, you are the salt of the earth.
news.
Come on.
Anything more. It offers hope. It says all are welcome. It says good news. Broken relationships, they get healed in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Good news. Are you poor in spirit? Good news, are you persecuted because of righteousness' sake? Good news, do you mourn? You've done a lot of mourning over the past year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good news. That is what the kingdom offers, and it offers us a new citizenship. If you commit your life to Christ, if you repented and were baptized in Jesus, and you married God, you are a citizen of this kingdom. And yes, we still live in this world, and yes, there's still brokenness, but don't you know that you inherit something that's so much better, that's going to outlast this world?
Come on.
Being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom of God, with Jesus as King of kings and Lord of lords, is so much more different than being a citizen of this world.
Amen.
Amen.
So true.
Yeah, it is.
So true.
Than being a citizen of this country. Mm-hmm. It's so different. The processes are different. Everything about it is different. Everything about it is so much better. The second co is going to come up and share about, you know, what's it like for her to be a citizen of this kingdom.
Let's go.
Come on, Coco.
Hey, hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, first, before I get started, I just want to say thank you guys so much for just allowing us to be here, to take over service, and just for your service as well. Yesterday, amazing performance today as well. So, just big thank you to you guys. But yeah, so I'm just going to talk a little bit about citizenship for me, what it looked like to become a citizen of this country, and what it looked like for me to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. How they kind of look a little similar, but also very, very different. So I'm just going to give you guys a quick backstory. So I'm Coco. I was born in Ghana, and I lived there with my mom, my sister, and my grandmother. My whole family's down there. But my dad, at the time, lived over here. And so at some point, my mom and my dad started thinking about just all of us living together, being a big happy family, and they decided, okay, America's the best place to do that because free education, better jobs, all that stuff, right? And it's weird. I don't know about like other third world countries, but when Ghanaians talk about America, it's a little concerning. It's like this land flowing with milk and honey, and it's so great, and when you get there, everything is just going to be amazing, you're going to prosper. So hearing that at like the age of 7, I was like, oh, this is great, I'm excited. Like, bye, Ghana, right? And so we came over here, and immediately I was like, okay, this is nice. It was a hard transition. I'll give myself that. But I assumed, just at my 7-year-old self, I assumed that me being around Americans made me American. Like, I'm a citizen, I'm great. And I didn't find out until about high school, so like 9th grade. I came here in about 3rd grade, and so this was about 7 years, right? And I realized that my parents had actually been fighting really hard for us to become citizens. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm already a citizen, I'm gonna be that, right? And I realized, okay, so there's actually a process to this, and it's called naturalization, right? So I didn't realize that they were sowing seeds and sowing it so fervently for us to become citizens. And there are things that, for my sister and I, weren't available to us because we weren't citizens. Like for her, she was going to college at some point, but she couldn't apply for like the Bill Gates scholarship thing because you need to be a citizen for that. And so eventually we went to this big venue. I remember like it was just yesterday. I was in 9th grade, I was in a yellow suit. I was like, why did I do that to myself? But went to this big venue, and there were people of all different races and ages, and we're all together. We got, you know, to this long line, got to the top. I put in my, you know, thumbprint, all that stuff. And we went into another room where I could see everybody around me. We sang the most American song. I know that, and I'm proud. to be
an American. Yeah. We had to sing that song for some reason. I was like, okay. But at that time, I became a citizen. So
wow.
I was like, okay, this is great. I get to, you know, live out that American dream. You know, where's that milk and honey at? I'm ready for that. And there were some good things, right? So I was able to get education, right? Free public education for 12 years. Like, that's unheard of in a lot of countries. So I was really grateful for that. A chance at income, like a teenager for me, I worked at Publix as a cashier, mm-hmm. and I got $15 an hour. That's crazy.
Come on.
So, that was a great blessing. And I got to pursue my passions, getting to go to college to become a nurse. Like, that's unheard of to a lot of kids, right? But it also came with some bad stuff, right? So I began to chase after success. I was all about my grades looking the best. I was about being the best. I began to take materials. I was like, I want the latest thing, I want the newest thing. My parents were like, calm down. But I also started chasing after selfishness. Mm-hmm. I only looked out for myself. In school, so I needed help. I'm like, you got money? Because I'll help you. But I also began to drink from the fountain of dissatisfaction. And it felt like I would go to all of these things, they would fill me up for a time, but then they would leave me even more empty than they did before. Mm-hmm. And so I realized this now, that wasn't all because I was just becoming a citizen of America. It was because I was becoming a citizen of this world.
Ah.
So this is all the way up through high school. I finally went to college, you know, the Harvard of the South, Kennesaw, that's what we call it. I started to think a little bit more about God. Like, God started weighing more and more on my mind, and I was like, what do I want to do with God? What is a relationship with God even look like? And I'm so glad that he sent these people in my campus ministry to come after me. Like, three girls who were sowing seeds and watering them, and God was growing me. And it took about 50-something days of them just putting up with me, right? And so I, in that time, had to redefine what Christianity was for myself. And so just like my 7-year-old self thought that being around Americans made me an American, my 17-year-old self thought that being around Christians made me a Christian.
Wow.
I had to learn that for myself and redefine it for myself of like, I'm actually not living according to the standard of God.
Right.
And that's why I decided to become a citizen of the kingdom of God through faith. So it's been amazing since then. And there's been just a lot of great things that's come with it as well. I've gotten to see the beauty of the unity. You know, in the world, I was very much so like, I'm African, I'm not, it's the whole thing. I'm not African, I'm not African American. But now it's like, I get to rip out Galatians 3:28, where there's no Jew, no Gentile, no man, no woman, no
African-American,
no white or black, all of that. I get to live that out to the full.
Amen.
And I get to have my debt cleared, right? When I came to America, I didn't have debt. I'm in college, but I have debt. So I get to have all of my debt cleared by God, which is amazing. And I get to live life to the full, like he said in John 10:10. You know, I get to just be happy. Fully joyous, fully happy. Now, going after things that are going to empty me out.
Yep.
And with that, I also get to drink from the fountain of satisfaction that is Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's just been amazing. There's no other kingdom that I want to be a part of. And that's what I have to share. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah,
a
little partiality there.
But that's the kingdom.
Amen.
Good news. Good news.
Come on.
The kingdom of God is here. This, y'all, the kingdom of God. North River, Tri-County Church.
Come on.
Wherever else ICOC has a church, but
come on.
Even beyond just ICOC, the kingdom of God is here. Mm-hmm. And just like those girls went out, reached out to go and brought her in, we ought to do the same. It's our mission now.
Yes, it is.
We were not called to be passive citizens, only reaping the benefit of the kingdom for ourselves. We were not called into a passive relationship with God. We were called into that dynamic relationship with God. And just like that, we were called into a dynamic citizenship. Turn over to Matthew 5:13-16.
Come on, Josh.
Come on, Josh.
You are the salt of the earth. But if salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city or a kingdom situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand and gives light for all who are in the house.
Amen.
In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You take up this mission. You bring kingdom to people. You bring shalom, the balance, the order that we had when we were with God in Eden. We bring that to people. How beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news. It says, hey, I got a gospel. Hey, I know what you're going through right now. Or, hey, I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you just lost your job, whatever. I got good news. This kingdom isn't for you. This world isn't for you. But I got a kingdom that is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Are you poor in spirit? The kingdom. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice? The kingdom. Do you mourn? The kingdom. Are you meek? The kingdom. Are you persecuted? The kingdom is for you. It is our mission. Turn to 1 Peter.
Come on.
Actually, like the how he is reaching us, it's just so weird. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a people for his own possession, that you may what? Proclaim the words.
Come on, bro.
Say that word again.
Excellency.
Yes, that word. Of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I used to go to speech when I was like in like kindergarten or whatever, so sometimes it's a little hard.
It's okay, you got it.
You got it, brother.
You got it.
We proclaim that.
Yeah.
Do we believe that we get to inherit a kingdom that is unshakable? I ask that again. Do we believe that we get to inherit a kingdom that's unshakable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Do we believe that we are citizens of this kingdom?
Yes.
Do we believe that even though we live in this world, we get to bring this light to people?
Yes.
That is your role as a citizen. That is your kingdom duty, to proclaim all the great things that God has done for you, to proclaim the fact that you get to be a part of a kingdom that is so much better than America, than Britain, than China, than Rome, than Greece, than Persia, anything in this world that is so much better. That is what the kingdom is about.
Amen. Yes, it is.
We were once exiled.
Yep.
Come on, Josh.
All of us.
Yes.
I read Ephesians last time I was here. All of us were far off. And yet God in his grace has brought us in. And after.
That's right.
At all. We were deserving of death, but he, in his grace, has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
And as his disciples, as people who wear Jesus every day, we get to bring others in. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Come on, Josh.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. In other words, good news. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, we also appeal to you. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. As kingdom citizens, disciples, you are an accredited diplomat sent by the kingdom of heaven as official representatives of Christ to proclaim everything that's great about your kingdom to this foreign country.
Amen.
We are foreigners living as exiles in this world, and we are ambassadors of Christ. It is our mission to bring him. It is our mission to bring forth the kingdom of Shalom, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of union, the kingdom of unity, the kingdom of God to those among us. It is our mission more than ever. And the apostles, next slide, the apostles live this out. They believe the good news, they believe the gospel, and they stake their lives on it. In Acts 4, it says, now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. With great power, the apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. But there was not a needy person among them, because of all those who owned land and houses sold them and brought the seeds of what was sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. They distributed to each as any had need. They understood what the kingdom was about.
Amen.
Understood, and they believed the good news, and they brought the good news to others. Many signs and wonders were being done among them, among the people through the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, but the people spoke well of them. Bring the kingdom to people, maybe someone will join you. Maybe someone said, this kingdom's not for me. But guess what? They spoke well of them. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing number, multitudes of both men and women. As a result, they would carry out sick to the streets and lay them on the cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow, they brought the sick. They brought those tormented. They brought those who might not have been able to walk on their own. And they came and said, hey, good news.
Hey, my God.
Good news. Mm-hmm. Another story I want to tell. This happened literally last week. And like God convicted me in this moment. I was on campus, it was Wednesday. And I was sharing about Bible talk. We was at the gazebo, and we were sharing with people, hopefully having people. It was my first Bible talk, so I was like, okay, I want people to come out. And me and my sister are sharing. We come across this girl who was obviously emotionally distraught. She had been crying, I don't know what about. I don't know what was upsetting her. We shared about Bible talk, kept it moving. In that moment, afterwards, I realized she did not need an invitation to Bible talk. She did not need an invitation to another religious event. What she needed was an invitation to Jesus.
Amen.
What she needed was somebody to see her humanity and to bring kingdom to her and not her to the kingdom. How easy is it to lose that side of the mission? Whether it's cold contact evangelism or sharing at your workplace, how easy is it to, you're bringing them out to more than just church. You're bringing them to the kingdom of heaven. And if they're not willing to go, then you bring the kingdom of heaven to them. And how you love them. And how you treat them, and how you honor them, and how you honor God by honoring them as human. Next slide. This world does not need more religious people.
That's right.
It needs kingdom citizens. It needs to be shown true humanity.
That's right.
This passage in Acts 4, where Peter and John are preaching, and they see this beggar outside of the gates called Beautiful. And, you know, this is a story that should be familiar to us because it says, you know, hey, gold and silver I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Here. But what stuck out to me was not the miracle itself and the fact that he was healed. It's the fact that before he healed them, he looked at them.
Mm.
Something so intimate about just looking and seeing. And Jesus was great at doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Before he would heal you, he would see you. Imagine how bad it must have felt. You see me. You're looking at me.
Right.
You recognize I'm human. Guys, there's still beggars in the world. You see him on I-20. You see him on 75 north or south. You see him on street corners. What that person needs is more than just some money or food or bottled water. They need somebody to see that they're human too.
Mm-hmm.
They need that shalom. They need that kingdom. They need people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Why? Because we are all just beggars trying to show other beggars where to find bread.
So true.
Come on, Josh.
Anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever wants to hold on to this kingdom will lose it. Whoever wants to hold on to the good news of the world, quote unquote good news, will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel, because of me and the good news.
Right.
Yep.
We'll save it.
That's right.
Guys, we get to proclaim this to people. And it may not look like anything's being done. It may not look like the church doors are just being filled, or the church floor is being filled with people, and we have this fancy building or whatever. It may not look like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're proclaiming something so beautiful. As Isaiah said it best, how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a citizen of this kingdom, you carry the good news.
Yeah.
Let's go, God, in prayer. Father, God, we recognize you as King. We recognize your kingdom. And we are so blessed, so thankful to be a part of this kingdom, God, that we get to carry the good news, that we've got a gospel to share with people. I pray that you encourage us, inspire us, lead us by your Holy Spirit to not just share about something religious, but to share about a kingdom that we get to be a part of.
That's right.
A kingdom that's going to outlive this world that is unshakable, that we get to inherit. God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here, to see friends, to see my family. Bless them. Help them. Give them strength to continue to carry the good news.
Right.
To stake their life on. Encourage them. Build your church, God. Build your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, we are your ambassadors, and I pray that we can represent you. We won't be perfect at it. We're going to get a lot of things wrong. But we're so thankful for your grace, you still use us. God, I pray that you can just bring people back to you to it, so that they can walk with you in the cool day. Dad, thank you. I love you.
Amen.